The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
Well, Christianity is essentially a life to be lived. All the truth of the gospel and all that Christ has done for us eventually becomes a way of life. And in verses 6 and 7, Paul gets into the business of living the Christian life. As is Paul's way in the majority of his epistles, no matter how else you may divide them, there is a place almost always where the Apostle Paul transitions from the indicatives to the imperatives. When he moves from truth to commands, when he moves from doctrine to application, when he moves from who you are to how you shall live. After 11 chapters of deep gospel theology in Romans, in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." After 3 chapters of the glorious gospel riches being presented to us, being poured out upon us, we get to chapter 4, verse 1. And he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." You'll find something similar in Philippians. And of course, you'll find that here in chapter 2, verse 6, where this transition takes place. When he says in chapter 2, verse 6, "As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." This is the moment when we move from our gospel wealth to a gospel walk. This is the moment when we've been up in the clouds of glorious gospel truth and the supremacy of Christ and who he is, and now we move to the ground. We get on the ground. We go from being in the heavenlies down to earth, where the rubber meets the road. He stretched our minds, and now we are going to stretch our legs. Shall I continue? I thought about these all week. We go from how God sees us in Christ to how the world sees Christ in us. In verse 6, we have the first command in the epistle. Up to this point, it's just been truth. It's just about what is. Just revealing what is. And now we have the first command. And just for your own edification, whenever you are reading the Apostle Paul, pay close attention to that first command. Because the first command of the Apostle Paul is always very, very important, because it almost always marks this transition. Paul won't take one step. He won't dip his toe into the water of conduct, not one little bit, until he first lays out the content of your faith. And so that's what you see here. This therefore in verse 6 is not just a verse 5, therefore verse 6. It is a chapter 1, verse 3 through chapter 2, verse 5, therefore verse 6, and the rest of the epistle. Everything that we have said so far is our power and our identity, and our motivation for all that is to follow. This is the order of the Christian life. So it is the order of Paul's epistles. The structure of these verses flows out of the command to walk in Christ as you have received Him, verse 6. And then in verse 7, we have this series of participles that modify this walk of the Christian life. These participles: being rooted, having been rooted, being built up, being established, abounding in thanksgiving. These four participles modifying this verb to walk in Him. That's what Paul has set before us this morning. When we put this all together, I think what we actually have here are what I'm going to call three different perspectives or three different descriptions or principles of how the Christian life is to be lived. And each of these descriptions of the Christian life are linked to how the Christian life began. Let me show you what I mean. So in verse 6, he says, as you received Christ in the beginning, how you received him, the moment of your salvation, so walk in him now in the present. And then verse 7, having been rooted, perfect tense, what has happened in the past? When you received Christ, you were rooted. Having been rooted, therefore, you are being built in up in him, present tense. So having been rooted, you are being built up. Once again, the being built up, the growing in Christ, is linked with how it began, when you were rooted in Christ. And then finally, in the second half of verse 7, he just reverses the order. Being established in the faith, right now in the present, this is what's happening to you. You are being established in the faith, just as you were taught in the beginning. Once again, back to the beginning. So the whole and totality of this Christian life is, he finishes out, abounding in thanksgiving. So you see that as you received Christ, having been rooted in Christ, just as you were taught in Christ in the beginning, therefore, walk in him now. Be built up in him now. Be established in the faith in him now. The ongoing Christian life, and being looked at from different perspectives and in different ways, every aspect of that Christian life is still linked to how you came at the beginning. It flows out of how you initially received Jesus, how you were initially taught Jesus, how you were initially rooted in Jesus. So, with the command that we should walk as we receive Jesus in verse 6, Paul is turning now to how we are to live. That's what this walk means. And let me remind you, he is doing so as someone whose walk has put him in chains. He is writing about walking in Christ as someone whose walk in Christ has him in prison in Rome. And yet, he will proclaim joyously that it's worth it. It's worth it given the one he's walking in, walking for, and walking to. And it does us, it's good for us to see that. As we begin, 3 points this morning. We're going to see living in Christ, growing in grace, and abounding in gratitude. Three ways of looking at the Christian life and how it is to be lived. How it's the living, the growing, and the abounding. It's living in Christ. I'm going to call it growing in grace. And throughout, from beginning to end, abounding in gratitude. First, living in Christ. Verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. These first two verses. Paul is teaching us in these first two verses that the Christian life is lived on the basis of how it was received. As you receive Jesus Christ, so walk in him. This is a how question he's answering. How does this Christian life live? It's lived the same way you came. You live the life the way that you first came. We are to live with the who we've received and the how we received him in mind. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We are to live keeping in mind who he is, how we received him, and how he saved us. Live with that in mind. Just as you received Christ Jesus, understanding what he did for you, how he saved you, who he was. Now live in that. What this means is there's not another future discovery that will chart another course for this life somewhere along the road. continued growth and understanding in this life comes from going back to how it began. In the living, in the growing, and in the gratitude that is expressed throughout. There is only going deeper and growing stronger in the one who lived your life and gave his life, seeing clearer the one you have received, who he is and what he's done for you, and living out of that reality. Notice, it is as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. This is unique in all of Scripture, this specific, particular phrasing here, Christ Jesus the Lord. It's used that way nowhere else. It's on purpose. It's the historic person Jesus in his humanity, whose name literally means Savior. And by his death, salvation is what he accomplished. And his identification as the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the one prophesied and promised, the mystery revealed, the missing piece to all the puzzles, the answer to all the riddles, the one who brings fulfillment and completion. So you see, the historic Jesus and the promised Messiah are united in one person who is Christ Jesus the Lord. See, he is laying out all of who Jesus is. And in doing so, laying out all of who Jesus is for us, what he's done. And the chord that continues to echo and ring on, even after you say Christ Jesus the Lord, is Lord, Lord. He's Christ Jesus the Lord. That's who he is. If you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, if he's Lord, you don't walk some other way. You walk in him. He's Lord. Now it matters how you live. Now you line your life up with who he says you are to be. And now he is glorified. Now life, everything that comes out of your mouth is to reflect his glory. And every step you take is to reflect his character. He's Lord. You can hear it ringing on even after he finishes. He's laying out all that Jesus is so that you would live in constant reminder of all that Jesus is. He's Lord. He's Creator and Redeemer. He's the giver of the law and keeper of the law. He's servant of the covenant. He's Lord of the covenant. Paul is like gathering up all that Jesus is and laying it out before us and say, live in light of that. Don't ever forget that. That is everything. And apart from that, nothing else really matters. Because if you don't know that, you can't live the life. That's why the receiving always comes before the walking. There is no walking until there's receiving. Because the walking is impossible without the receiving. This is the order of the Christian life. It's the indicatives, then it's the imperatives. It's the indicatives that make the imperatives safe. I hear the imperatives, the commands of God, and for the very first time I say, I can do that through Christ. Where before I said, nobody can do that. And you were right. Now for the very first time, I can. I can obey Christ. I can glorify Him with my life. The Spirit of God within me, living towards God, needs a body to put that spirit on display before men. What God is doing in me needs to be on display outside of me. And so it's truth of who Jesus is and the power of that in you now being lived out in your daily life. Obedience. Pure motives. Right ultimate goals. Not just trying to get the Father's stuff, but the Father. no longer living for yourself, but for the one who gave himself for you. This is how God's mercy and grace are glorified. This is how Christ is put on display. Christ is put on display because he's the one in whom we are depending. He's the one we're looking to. The one who gets all the hope, gets all the glory. And the world sees that in the way that we live our lives. This is what makes our bodies important. And so we live just as we first came. We bring our need and weakness, trusting in his power and provision. We don't walk to be saved. We walk because we are saved. We begin by faith and we live by faith. We begin with confession and repentance, and we live lives of confession and repentance. It's a walk. It's a traveling metaphor. It's in him and with him. It means he doesn't just get you in the door and say, good luck. It's with him. He doesn't give you a map and say, this is the direction you should take. Go ahead. He is with you. He is in you. Every step is with him and in him. It's not a life that you get in the door and then take it away from him and do it by yourself. It cannot be done apart from him. It's a walk. It's the whole life. It's the whole man who has taken the whole Christ. It's a way of life. It's just the natural production of what is in here coming out. It's the fruit of the Spirit being produced. Not mechanically, but organically. Because the life of God runs through my veins. And it's not turned on and turned off. It is a display of the inward reality. It's not hidden depending upon the circumstances or where I'm at. And in this world, there's a lot to see and think about. And it doesn't mean that he's all I think about, but it does mean that when I think about anything, I'm also always thinking about him. Because I'm walking in him, and he is in me. It means all the decisions and actions are made in connection to him, dependent upon him, ruled by him, because he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Christ Jesus the Lord. If you can't just take Savior and not get Lord. You can't just take his salvation and not live for him. So we are walking. We are advancing. There's a destination. We're not aimless. And we're not powerless. We are in him and he is with us. We have a destination. He is our destination. He is who we will see, and he is who we will be. All of Christ, all of life. This is what it means to live in Christ. Secondly, growing in grace. Growing in grace. So we go from the living to the growing. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Notice these participles, rooted, built up, established. Listen, they're all passive verbs. They're all passive verbs, meaning action that is being done to you. It is God who rooted you in Christ. It is God who is building you up in Christ. It is God who is establishing you in the faith. Rooted is in the perfect tense, something that's already been complete. And the other are present tense, passive verbs, speaking of ongoing action, what God is still continuing right now doing to you. That's why most of the translations don't have it exactly right. It's my opinion. NAS does pretty good. Let me kind of try to lay it out. It's having been rooted. and being built up and being established. See, that gives you a better idea of what he's trying to communicate here. So see, we're talking about different perspectives or descriptions of growth. The reason I'm calling it growing in grace is because it's ongoing action. It's what God is doing. It's growing in grace. It is what the power of God and the Spirit of God in you is bringing to bear. The fruit being created. When you received Christ, you were rooted. This means that the beginning was a new beginning. You were taken somewhere and planted somewhere else, like Psalm 1, planted by streams of water. Now your roots are going into life-giving streams. And that life-giving stream is Christ. It's a new environment. It's a, spiritually speaking, a brand new place. Because I have a brand new relationship with God because of what Christ has done. This means that it is far more than just accepting Christ. It's more than just adopting a new philosophy. It's not just, okay, I'm going to take up some new rules to live by, or I'm going to really get to work on my discipline in my life. It's far more than that. It's far more than just deciding to start to bend your will towards Him. This is being made new. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. You have new life. For the first time, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And the sense of the work of God in you so that you begin to see the world as God sees it. And not as the world sees it. And you're rooted. It's resulting in transformation because of where your roots are. Where your roots grow is how you know how you will grow. Your roots are in Christ. Therefore, your growth will reflect Christ in every way. Your growth will be a reflection of where your roots are drawing life from. Therefore, along this walk, you don't turn aside and look to something else to provide for you what Christ can only be, because your roots are in Him. And the true Christian has already been rooted in Christ. That's already happened. If He is where my roots are, then He's the source. All the growth comes from Him. All that is built will be a reflection of Him and for His glory. I can't call it spiritual growth if it doesn't look like Christ. If it's not grounded in gospel. If it's not found in the truth of His word. That's not Christ transformation. That means your roots are somewhere else. If you're looking more and more like the world, that's where your roots are. That's what you're becoming. And this building up will come in the knowledge of Him. It's exploring all that He is. All that He is for me, and all that He's done for me, all that He says. It's discovering new glorious treasure that's only found in Him. It's coming to a more and more complete understanding of all that He is. All that He came to do, all that He accomplished, all that is still to come in His return, who I will be one day. We will grow. You're rooted in Christ. Therefore, you will grow. It's inevitable. If your roots are in Him, you will grow. You will be built up. Because the roots are drawing on Him. Dependent upon Him. Looking to Him. And therefore, I will increasingly look like him. I will. You will. Listen, you will. If you're not, you need to do some hard work this morning. It's not a matter just of I need to be discipled better. It may be a matter of I'm not saved. I don't really know him. Because I'm not looking like him. Whatever you're drawing from is the Lord of your life. Whatever you're looking to is the one who is in control. He is Lord. And you will become like what you worship. All growth is in him. All the truth that he reveals in his word is truth that I understand in him. Whatever intellectual understanding I come to in the world, it's still connected to him. My spiritual maturity, theological maturity, it's always connected to him. My emotional maturity, my intellectual maturity, every aspect of me will be connected to him, must be connected to him, because I am in him. I run the truth that I hear through Christ, and I understand it on the other side. So that I'm not just looking at Christ, I'm looking at everything else through him. This is the Christian life. And this is how we grow. And then he says this, and being established in the faith, just as you were taught. So look, Paul would have gotten an F in Miss Johnson's sixth grade English class, okay? He is a master of mixed metaphors. So he uses a traveling metaphor, walking, and then an agricultural metaphor, rooted, and then an architectural metaphor, being built up, and then a legal term, being established. This word established is a legal term. It means to validate. It can mean to confirm or even to guarantee. It means to make sure. It's spoken of in one place that it's a place to walk that is solid. It's the opposite of thin ice. The idea is confidence, assurance, knowing what I know, being established in the faith. And this idea of in the faith is the content of the faith, the good news of what Christ has done for me. I'm established in that. What you are taught is more and more of what you were taught in the beginning. This is how the Christian grows. You don't move on to something else. You return to the gospel. You return to the good news, and you learn it again, and you learn it again, and you become increasingly established in what it says and what it means and all the ways it must be applied in your life. And notice, it doesn't say learning. It says you're being established. It's not just adding to the catalog of knowledge in the library of your mind. It is truth that makes you more confident, makes you more sure, gives you greater understanding of who you are because of what Christ has done. It's not just learning some stuff, but growing stronger. Stability, security, all those aspects of growth are what we're talking about here. It's not just I've got more memorized, but I'm more sure. Therefore, I'm more courageous. This is what this means. This means that it will be growth. I'm returning to the news, the same truth. I'm relearning it and discovering it anew, day after day after day. And therefore, this growth is a growth that leads to greater dependence. What am I reminding myself every day? Just as I came, broken, unable. I'm reminded myself of that every day, and that's how I live. And so I am giving myself the opportunity for greater growth because I'm coming to Christ each and every day with need and nothing. Saying, I need your power to work through me. I know that by myself, in and of myself, I cannot do it. I need you. It's coming back to the same well, the same fountain, day after day after day. And so the greater the understanding, the greater the dependence. The greater the acknowledgement of your sin, the more aware of your sin you are than you ever have been before. And as we say, it's going to feel like weakness. But it's not. Because that's exactly where you're supposed to be. That is exactly where God meant you to be. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus alone. Greater humility will result and greater satisfaction and joy as well. And even more important, you will actually be able to glorify the Lord with your life. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want more than everything else, is for people to see Christ living in you and through you? Isn't that what you were meant for? Finally, and quickly, abounding in gratitude. So we're living in Christ, we're growing in grace, and it's all of this, the whole of the Christian life is abounding in gratitude. This word abounding, it's the idea of excess. It's my cup spilleth over. It's more than enough. It's drinking out of a fire hose. Okay, it's trying to fill up a thimble with the, trying to take a thimble and dip it into the ocean. There's so much more. There's always more. And I can never get to the bottom of it. It's overflowing thanksgiving. Overflowing gratitude. And this is because from beginning to end, from front to back, through and through, the Christian life is all of grace. I'm going to say it again. It's all of grace. Therefore, the Christian life is greater and greater experience of that fact. A greater and greater understanding that, yes, it is all of grace. And experiencing that grace. It means that I know the gospel is my story. My life is in the Lord, and the Lord is my life. And it's all of grace. It means I know that I've been set free from my sin. I've been set free from the weight of trying to build my own life, trying to build a life and an identity and a righteousness on my own, in and of myself. A self-salvation project that will not endure. It's being freed from the weight of finding an identity and a joy in my own performance and achievement, and instead finding satisfaction in His. Knowing that my identity and value is not found in how good I'm doing today, but that the only pair of eyes that matter in the universe look at me and see the righteousness of Christ. That He knows me all the way to the bottom and He loves me all the way to the sky. And all that I am and all that I need is found in who He is for me. That will result in a life of gratitude. We've already said, whatever controls you is your Lord. That means that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, a new identity must come as well. Because now He's Lord. And that new identity is found in Him building my life. Since I have been rooted in Him. And Him firmly establishing me in the faith. It's His work. He says, trust in me. And I do. And that leads to a life of gratitude. And the test, as we close, as you look at your own hearts, the test is dependence and gratitude. The test of the Christian life, am I living the Christian life, is dependence and gratitude. Listen, according to this, these two verses, it's dependence upon the Lord that sets us apart from the rest of the world. What sets us apart from everybody else is that we're totally dependent upon Him. And that's also how we grow. That is also the power by which spiritual maturity comes, is my dependence upon Him. It's how I'm set apart from the world. It's how I grow before the watching eyes of the world for His glory. The test is dependence. And the test is gratitude. Where there is a lack of gratitude, there is a lack of Christ. Where there is a lack of gratitude, there is a lack of understanding of grace. Because the gospel creates gratitude. The gospel says, you can't do it. If you could do it, I would not have had to come and live the life you could never live and die the death you deserve to die. The gospel strips you of your rights and your entitlements and your attempts to earn it. The test is gratitude. Two things are kryptonite to a life of gratitude. One is entitlement, and number two, it's merit. If you think you deserve it, there will be no gratitude. If you think you can earn it, there will be no gratitude. The gospel destroys that. The gospel says no one deserves it and no one could earn it. It's for the glory of the Son alone. We know we don't deserve it and we know we can't merit it. And what is left in there, in the place when the gospel finishes its work, is gratitude and joy and a life of dependence. Knowing that you're forgiven and you're freed, you've been redeemed, you've been made new, you're blameless and faultless and righteous and clean and complete. You are His and He is yours. You are in Him and He is in you. This is the Christian life.